As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hey, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host and ladybug photographer, Gregor. And he's been on vacation in Montana, no doubt telling a moose about whales. He's Brandon from the internet, and he does this for free.
You know what Hi. The thing I just realized, so the country of whales, is, I feel like, something I should be a lot more stoked about, given my obsession with whales. And anyway, the country of Wales is just qualified for its first World Cup since 1958, and I am going to support. They're in the same qualifying group within the World Cup as the United States, and I'm having a hard time deciding if I'm going to support the United States or Wales, the country, or Wales, the animal. I don't know.
Yeah, no. The just so you know, Brandon, the whales are separate from the country of Wales.
And yeah, so, no, I know, but I can't speak either of their languages. So
no. Specifically, the fact that they speak English, but still, it doesn't make
sound
any
anything
sense.
Like
yeah,
English.
No. My boy just said to me. He said, "Did you know that another name for orcas is killer whales?" Unprovoked. Oh. I didn't ask him about anything. And he just said that to me. And I said, "Oh, really?" And he's like, "Yeah, did you know that they're not whales, that they're actually more like dolphins?" And I was like,
"Are you sure, idiot?"
"I think technically you might be wrong." And he goes, I'm the king of this house. Yeah. I'm never wrong, sir. And I said, "Well, ask Mr. Brandon about it when I get on here with him." And he goes, "Why? Does he know about ocean animals?" And I was like, "Well, at least about whales." He's like, "So all animals of the ocean?" And I was like, no. He does not know about crustaceans.
No.
Or he can tell you about whales, though. So, Brandon, we've talked about this before.
It's
enthralling for everybody. Are orcas and dolphins technically whales?
Orcas are technically dolphins, but dolphins are technically whales. So orcas are whales.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, and they'll all be rooting against the U.S. in the World Cup in November.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we got it all squared away. Now, you really piqued my interest here, Brandon. We'll get to it in a second, but neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain.
Not yet.
But if you are, let us know what we get right and wrong on this show. And if you could do us a favor and write a review or tell a friend or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
This episode's question of the week is, how much of your body are you willing to replace with machine parts?
Oh, someone else has been watching Obi-Wan, I see. Cool.
I have, actually, yeah.
Now, you intrigued me off air before we started this, and you said, "I need to talk to you about Formula One."
Yeah.
And I'm like, obviously all in. Yeah. So let's go. What's limited to like just a couple minutes?
Sure,
because
sure,
anyone who's not watching Drive to Survive or been a Formula One fan for 30 years is not going to be interested.
To be honest, like I'm somebody who's just trying to get into it, and the reason is because you're into it, and it's I want to like be able to talk to you about stuff.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Yeah. And so you kind of got me into it, and so I started to watch a little bit recently, and I just want you to like explain to me, like I'm the noob idiot that I am, or explain to me like your son, who's probably smarter than me, except for about whales, idiot.
He's way smarter than you about F1. I'll tell you that.
I guarantee it. The tires. You use different tires based on the heat, based on the road itself.
I got you all covered.
I just know that there's soft tires, medium tires, and hard tires. That's it.
Here we go. Every race, you are required to use two different compounds of tires. They bring three.
Okay.
So you just got to use two of them. And if it rains, that rule goes out the window because you use a rain tire.
Yeah.
And they're not going to make you use two different types of rain tires because it might be the same level of rain the whole time. So, yeah, they have a soft, medium, and a hard. At some point, you have to drive two of those three. Okay.
Really?
So, like, if you start out on the softs, you either have to move to mediums or hards, or you get, like, a penalty at the end that'll disqualify you from winning.
Like, why make, like, if if every driver would benefit from the hard tire? And then I want to know, like, the reason I'm bringing this up on Nerd Talk is because I want to know, like, what's the science behind using a hard versus a soft tire or anything like that.
Sure.
But, like, why, if the competitive advantage is the same for everybody to just be using the same tire, why not just have everybody use the same tire? Like,
okay, so there's a couple different facets to this. One, the cars are all individually made by the teams. It's a manufacturer series. So, like, the Ferrari makes a totally different car than the Mercedes or the Red Bull or whoever, okay? And so some cars might be really gentle on tires. They might be able to prolong the life of a tire. So a harder tire is typically thought to be more durable, and a softer tire is faster because it's softer and more rubbery. You get more contact patch, but it burns away faster. So if you have a car that's hard on the soft tires, you might run the hard tires and see if you can run them longer than somebody else to make one fewer pit stop at the end or whatever. The main advantage is that they don't refuel in F1, so that means you start with 100... I think it's like 100 liters of fuel on board, or 100 kilograms of fuel on board. They do it by weight. And so at the beginning, a soft tire is going to get chewed up faster because of the extra weight pulling the car down and thus making more motion go through the tire as it moves laterally across the road. So if you put on the soft tire at the end, it would be more like qualifying. And in qualifying, you set a lap on the lowest amount of fuel to see who just has the most raw pace, who can go the fastest. So by the end of the race, if you can slap on the soft tires and really kill it at the end, you can really make a huge stride coming late into those last few laps. The problem is that passing is really difficult in Formula One, despite their best efforts. You're still driving a car that has the same footprint as a Land Rover at somewhere between 60 and 200 miles an hour, depending on where you're at. And so to be able to be brave enough to, like, I realize that they treat I-5 like this all the time, where people are moving in and out, and it's like, but in order to be able to make that happen is quite a feat. And so at the end of the race, when someone else's tires are crap and you put on those soft ones that are really fast, you can make a huge difference at lightweight. So, like, for instance, sometimes a guy will be like, I have a fast car, but I qualified way down the field, so I'll start on the hards. Everyone else will go to the mediums, and then they'll go to the softs, or, you know, whatever. They'll make a couple stops, but I'll try and get 60 of 65 laps done on this hard tire, and then I'll switch real quick and be really fast at the end, so that way I can make up some spots, and it's a huge, there can be a huge advantage. But the problem is you run into things that are out of control, out of one's control, like a safety car comes out when there's a crash, or maybe something else happens that slows the race down, starts raining, and then everyone changes anyway, and so it's rolling the dice. It's a strategy game. And before, there wouldn't be changes to tires, and so it was just everyone was on the same thing the whole time. This way you get, like, people that'll gamble a little bit.
There's, like,
a
little
bit
more, there's, like, a race within, or, like, a game within the race, which is the strategy game of which, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That makes so much more sense to me now.
Yeah, and so the idea, it hasn't always been that way. It's been for the last 15 years they've had the two different compounds of tire. It used to be two, and then they made it to three. And the thing where people get confused is there's five different tires that they use throughout the year, and they pick three of them for each race. They never need to say that to anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it depends on the circuit. Like, if you live in the desert, this is for driving your road car too. If you live where it rains all the time, you need an asphalt that will get the water out of the way faster. But if you live somewhere that's dry all the time, you need something that withstands the sun better. And so there's different, you know, like, you put different types of stones to make that asphalt.
Like, the actual surface is a different surface.
But, you know, like, they race in Bahrain, which is like a government can, like, It's one of these World Cup countries where they like bring in migrant workers and pay them, in quotes, to build their circuits or whatever.
What are you paying me in? Death.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, you get to live and horribly at that. But, and so, like, yeah, those places are, they treat the tires differently. So there you go. That's
now, are you
7 minutes of stuff that people did not need to know?
No, I find it very interesting. And I think that, well, one thing that I think anybody can take away from this is that don't make fun of people in places like Atlanta and even Seattle when they get a bunch of snow and they don't know how to deal with it. Because, as Gregor just mentioned, the road surfaces are different in places. Like, when there's a ton of snow in where I live, which we get snow, a lot of it, every single year in Spokane, like, the roads are prepared for it. Like, we have different types of roads, as well as just, like, 50 times the amount of snow plows and services to take care of it. The other thing that I could think I can take away from it is that I need to get harder tires, I believe, on my tire, on my car.
Did you say you need to get harder?
Yeah. Need to get harder? Clip that. I need to get harder. I need to get harder tires in order to avoid $237 speeding tickets from cameras in a school zone. So the harder the tire, apparently the slower I would be going and the less money I would be paying.
The bigger the the harder the brand. We can't do that. That's all beeped. Okay. I just beeped all
Good.
All right. Well, here we are. Scientists out digging around in the dirt discovered themselves quite the flying monster. A couple fossilized skeletons of a long-dead dinosaur that they're calling the Dragon of Death.
That's also what they... I feel like that's the leader of a some sort of white supremacist cult.
I'll leave it at that. It's part of the pterosaur family, actually. So pterosaur being P-T-E-R-O-S-A-U-R, like a pterodactyl or a pterodon, okay? By comparison, an eagle with like a 7 or 8 foot wingspan can carry off a salmon or a small poodle.
Or like a goat. Have you ever seen like those golden eagles like in the Andes that just pick up goats and drag them off of cliffs? Yeah, they're terrifying.
Part of their strategy, I think, is to knock them off, right?
Yeah.
So that they fall down and then
eat
their brains.
They don't like pick them up and carry them away, but they do have enough power to grab them and like lift them enough to throw them off of the edge of a cliff. And these goats, which are so sure-footed on these cliff faces, are, I think, hard prey to do that with, but they still end up, like bashing their heads in on the bottom of a valley and eating their brains out.
I oftentimes think that humans would benefit from having a 30-foot wingspan, like the size of a three-story building, only wide, a 30-foot wingspan beast that was flying around that could potentially swoop in and, you know, pick you up. And I was talking to our pal John Manley about this, and he was like, you think it's, like, big enough to pick up your kid? And I was like, maybe, especially after I've pushed him to get away, you know? Like, it's like a... Seems possible.
Like, we need, like, right now, you remember growing up, I'm sure this is the same for you, that, like, we grew up as a kid irrationally afraid of certain things, like shark attacks, right? Or quicksand or things like that. Like, but realistically, unless you're in the wild where cougars or, you know, bears or something could actually
sharks
could actually attack you. shark attack in the middle of the forest.
It came right out of the quicksand.
The tree shark. but we're irrationally scared of those things as kids, and then you grow up and you're like, oh my gosh, sharks. But what you're saying is, you know, we don't have a natural predator in everyday life. Like, what we actually, other than, you know, like jaywalking and getting hit by a car or something, like what we need is something flying, the constant threat of a dragon of death swooping down and taking you away.
Now, you know, to be fair, in America, we do have the constant fear of being shot to death by people with weapons that are whatever. But like, imagine if, like, you know, you know the building that I work in. Imagine if I was going to run to the Amazon Go store and I had to like take a look out and there had to be like people out there that needed the AR-15 to be ready and be like, clear. Like, you had to wait for like the crosswalk sign would actually be the guy that has his aim out to be able to shoot down any pterosaurs that are going to come swooping in. I often think, I mean, we would obviously just make laser weapons to destroy all of them and make them go extinct. Yeah, yeah, but maybe they could like I want there to be some sort of alternate timeline, a multiverse, I guess is the popular term, where like they've developed like anti-human armor. So it's a real struggle to defeat them, like an alien versus predator type thing with the alien. Like he's like they have like an exoskeleton pterosaur.
Yeah.
Now we're thinking. Now it's like a like an insect so, too. Yeah.
Do we, you and I, humans, hate the human race so much that we wish that we had a predator that would kill more of us?
Yeah, I mean, not actually, because sure. like I would not be able to save my. I'd be the first to.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm actually giant. So a huge advantage to being obese. Like,
yeah, or maybe the fact that you're tall means that you stand out in a crowd too. Like, so that way, when they do swoop down, they're like, all right, there's the one that's sticking out.
Could you imagine the badass scar that I could have on my face, though? Or like an eye patch from my missing eye from when I, like, a pterosaur couldn't carry me away?
As we say at the top of the show, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you got a big face scar from a pterosaur, you would be.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah. Wait, so you say, like, an eagle has a 7-foot wingspan. This pterosaur that they discovered, like, it has a 30-foot wingspan. So, like, this thing is massive.
Golden eagle wingspan. Let's look this up just to make sure. Yeah, between 6 and 8 feet for a golden eagle. So, and that's bigger than a bald eagle.
Yeah.
Because the golden eagle is the biggest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's the same. The golden eagle and the bald eagle each have like about a 6 to 8 foot wingspan.
So they found, all right, we talked about something similar on the show recently where the scientists were out digging in the dirt and they discovered that the bones, I'm assuming the fossils to this thing, wherever they were. We recently discovered that the Tyrannosaurus Rex that we thought was the Tyrannosaur was actually like an amalgamation of a bunch of different fossils from a bunch of different species that all happened to be in the same place where they put together this skeleton. So like the Tyrannosaur that we thought existed was actually multiple, you know, hodgepodge together. Is this potentially the same thing though? Like, could this just be like a bunch of 10-foot wingspan animals that they just happened to put together? It's like we've created the dragon of death.
Well, I think maybe it's the opposite at work, hopefully. So you're referring to when we found out that there was the Tyrannosaurus Rex, the Tyrannosaurus Regina, and the Tyrannosaurus Imperator.
Yes.
It sounds like a Star Destroyer.
Yeah,
so cool. Yeah, I think that maybe they're discovering that maybe like they thought was a smaller selection of animals is actually much larger than we anticipated. Like, this is the Pterodactyl Imperator or whatever. It has a different name, but that's like that's the notion here. So, it must have been, life must have been hard back then, dude, when you have a 30, like a 10 meter across flying reptile that came. Now, the thing is that my child might know, but I don't know if it had teeth or not. So that's like the big distinguisher between the pterodon and the Tyrannosaurus. Is one of them has teeth and one doesn't.
All I think about is like you mentioned at the beginning, if our wingspan was 30 feet and you compare that to a 3-story building, right?
Yeah.
Imagine the size of body that would have had to create the need to have such large wings in order to create like the lift that to get that body off of the ground. Like if I'm trying to picture
it's like a flying alligator.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like you have this massive gorilla that has, you know, 30 foot, you know, 15 feet on each side of it sized wings soaring through the air, dropping down like George of the Jungle style, and, like picking you up.
Hold on. So, but to be fair, also the weight of a bald eagle with like an 8-foot wingspan maximum would be like between 7 and 14 pounds. That's so let's say 8 feet is for 14 pounds. So 30 feet, it doesn't just go up, it goes up, I think, more, what do you call that when it's...
exponentially.
Yeah, I think it's more, so like, but maybe you're talking about 40 to 50 pounds, so like my Aussie doodle with wings.
Yeah, I guess that's not as scary.
It bites enough, let me tell you.
Okay, well then I'm less terrified.
Great, what's it, P-T-E?
I'm less terrified.
So I'm reading here at Gizmodo.com that Americans have collectively lost more than $1 billion in cryptocurrency scams since last year. About $1 in $4 involved in scammery, like other related things, is money in the blockchain. Like if you think about that Super Bowl commercial where we all just took a photo of the bouncing QR code, that's like such a clear indicator, like stuff like that shows how easily duped we are and how that's totally coming true. You know, I don't really know anything about economics or whatever. I know that I made a crap load of money by owning some Ethereum that I just forgot about or whatever. But like, to me, you know how the government backs the other currencies, yeah, and then it like doesn't fluctuate as significantly. Let's go, Brandon. and like, doesn't, I'm not actually supporting that, by the way. I'm just making a joke for everyone.
Because I have that name.
Yeah, thank you. But the idea that like, maybe for once the whole government argument of like, we should have some sort of backing for the FDIC,
some sort of regulation,
might be helpful.
Right. So. No, the entire idea that a bunch of like 25-year-old alpha male wannabes put in, and like, granted, I'm painting with a very wide swath here, but like,
No, you're not though, because the data suggests that millennials and like the 30-year-old range were the most likely to be scammed, and for once it wasn't the boomers, it wasn't the olds.
Well, it's because they can't figure out how to work the QR code on the menu at Red Robin before they can even figure out how to scan the one on the TV in order to lose a bunch of money. No, that God not that Biden. That one was making them lose money. But the entire idea that you just have no regulation and a bunch of people, like NFTs, like we saw how quickly the value of NFTs dropped once people, I put value in quotes, right? Because were they ever worth anything in the first place? As soon as, because they're not backed by anything, and like at the end of the day, what is gold, right? Like if the dollar is backed against gold, like what the gold, the value in gold is only what we as humans decide to put into it, right? But at the end of the day, like collectively as a government who decides how much, you know, not necessarily decides how much our dollar is worth, but is able to influence how much our dollar is worth by interest rates and by trade and things like that. Like at least there's something there, even if it is a flimsy kind of concept to begin with, based on what humans value. The same
again. You introduced pterosaurs again, and like it changes everything. It does. Like having an AR-15 will be like one of the more important things.
Right now, it's funny to think that like as I just did it 30 seconds ago, the fact that we make fun of elder people in general about getting scammed on, you know, a Nigerian prince trying to tell you that you've inherited $1 million, they need to give you $1 million so that they don't get it taken away by their government or something. And then here we are as 25, 30-year-old, mostly white men getting scammed out of their hard-earned, I don't know, money that they made working at some nefarious tech company, probably.
Or worse yet, I'm sure it's more likely people that I think it's kind of a preys upon people who are willing to be like, I've heard a lot about crypto. Sure. There's people getting rich. Now Facebook serves me up an ad for this very reputable crypto company.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I don't know. So I sent you a pair of boots that I'm thinking about buying that you made fun of me for, you dick. And
no, I'm picky about boots. I just wanted to know the brand because I've done a lot of research into boots.
So like, I would like some Red Wings, you know what I mean?
Of course,
like the old throwback one. Yeah,
they cost but they're like a million pterosaur coins.
PT coins.
PT coins. Which, ironically, or not ironic, coincidentally, is based on the value of the PT Cruiser.
Oh, geez, that's bad. Unless you're Michael Scott, like that's terrible. Yeah. But
also, what a perfect piece of writing. At the end of the day, it's to like write that as his favorite car.
It was very timely even then. Yeah. So I think a lot about how you get served a lot of stuff advertising wise, and you have to like trust the reviews of things that can easily be manipulated by just having friends and family or paying someone 5 cents a review in another country to submit them. And yes, verified. What's even verified? It says right there, verified. Wow. Like, look, I'm verified on social media. And what does that even mean? Nothing except for like, is not successful, but is still important somehow.
I'm verified on social media. And that's, even more.
And you do this for free.
And I do this for free. So I can literally say anything. Oh, he's verified.
Yeah. So just the notion of like back in the day, you would buy a whatever, like for instance, I buy a Honda, a Subaru, a Ford, whatever that is. And you're like, that's a big brand that has invested a ton of money and it's easy to track what they're doing. But the same way you would buy hand sanitizer that was Clorox. and you'd be like, okay, Clorox is a brand that has a long-running reputation as, like, this is a tested product that is safe or whatever. Then the next thing you know, you have the local distiller down the street making hand sanitizer because people are buying it all up. And then the next thing you know, it's some company that is like a foreign company that doesn't have the same regulations that is then being easily sheltered in by a service like Amazon. And I start to miss the old giant brands because of the reputation. I want to buy these boots, they're $200, but I've never heard of this company. And they have a storefront in Manhattan, and that's about as close to, like, okay, that, like, I guess that does it for me or whatever.
But I actually, like, now that you've said that, I know exactly the company that you're talking about. And I feel like it's an okay buy.
Yeah. But the same time that, like, I got showed and I sent it to you, and then I got to my wife and to you, and then I got showed an ad on TikTok for it. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, that's amazing that they, like, got, I'm sure I got it from another ad somewhere. Anyway, that doesn't matter. It's the notion that, like, these other companies that we know nothing about are slipping in, and whether it's a, like, I bought this, like, the world's thinnest wallet. I don't even know who it's by. Like, I can't even tell you. It was a Kickstarter campaign that took off. And, like, yeah, like, it's like this tiny little wallet, and it's like this Kickstarter campaign, and I bought it, and it was expensive, and it, like, it panned out, it's good or whatever, but you have no idea when people buy clothes off of Amazon and they get the thing that was not even at all, like, it's designed for teddy bears, and it's the same quality as Barbie clothing.
I think what's, like, it's, what's crazy about it, and you touched on it with the whole, it's these people who heard that crypto is getting big, therefore I should get on that, right? But they don't have necessarily the means to really do the research, or the time to do the research, and maybe they don't have the means to invest in, like, some of the bigger named coins that exist or whatever. I think about that the same way that when I'm a cyclist, right? And when I was first getting into cycling, I was like, look, I just can't afford these big name cycling brands, even though I know that they're probably high quality and this and that. And so I ended up going to, at, you know, I'm in college, or, you know, early in college, and I'm going to the internet, going to Amazon and trying to buy a cycling jersey, and then I buy what I think is my size, a medium, and I get it in 3 weeks, and it's the size of, it's a child's jersey, but it says medium on it and things like that. And I paid real money for that thing, right? And I'm, like, very extremely disappointed by the result. I don't think I could say scammed, because I spent less money on a inferior product that ended up not working out for me. But, like, these people who, at the time, I didn't have the means and I didn't have the knowledge to be able to get the thing that was actually going to give me the best return on investment. And, like, at the end of the day, you might think, like, these people, you know, they had the ability to pay money into this thing, and, you know, they got what they invested in at the end, but, like, these people, this is just straight up people getting scammed, like taking their money away. It's not like, oh, sure, I invested in Lampcoin and, you know, some very new tiny blockchain guy that could just create it because he wanted to, but it was backed on, like, but at the end of the day, this stuff is only as valuable if there's a bunch of people who all find it valuable, right? Like, Lampcoin, if a million people are like, Lampcoin's awesome, then the value of Lampcoin is going to skyrocket. It's the same way that if a million people think that, like, the shirt that Brandon is wearing right now is great, that this shirt will become a lot more valuable than it currently is, which is only Brandon thinks it's cool.
I see Harry Styles wearing, like, a shirt underneath his sweater that looks like it has, like, grandma doilies on it, like, as a collar, and I'm like, Don't do that. Don't make bad looks
cool,
popular,
yeah,
you idiot.
Yeah.
God. And, like, I know I sound like a million years old, but at the same time, like, I'm also not that out of touch. I'm not wrong. Like, make stuff that, like, looks cool, cool. Like, okay, sorry. I digress. Yeah, just the idea that, like, if you shop at, let's say you go to REI, I'll mention, like, a local big business. If you shop at REI, there's something behind it. You know, there's, like, there's a bit of integrity there. And if you shop from random mail order thing that comes from a foreign country that has no scruples, then, like, you might end up with a piece of garbage. And, like, when it comes down to, like, my power strip that I use, and it's like, are you going to trust something that you have? I can't test it to make sure that it's well manufactured. Yeah. I have no idea, but I know that I can trust a bigger brand more that I see at the hardware store or whatever, like one that has to go through all the processes. Yeah, I just worry about that, about people getting scammed, and then on top of that, the late night commercials on the cable news networks or on Facebook that's feeding you stuff with like almost no scrutiny other than AI that goes over it and like the MyPillow guy or whatever that causes problems. You know, that type of stuff it really worries me.
But every once in a while, you strike gold, like with this thing that I got served up on Instagram that is it's a piggyback thing that makes giving your kid a piggyback easier. And it's really, really cool. And I like it a lot. I'll send you a picture.
Okay, cool. I'm sure there's one from your trip with you.
No, he's actually not big enough for it yet, but I'm stoked to use it. I haven't gotten to use it yet.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Okay, well, let's jump into the question of the week. This week's question of the week, Brandon?
This week's question of the week is, how much of your body are you willing to replace with machine parts? And I want to ask you this question. I mean, yes, I did just see the first few episodes of Obi-Wan, and obviously Darth Vader is a person who is a lot of machine parts. But then also you think about, like, specifically, like, cyborgs in general. We're in a point in the human history and potentially human future where we're able to start replacing pieces of you know, we have prosthetics, and we have prosthetics that are now able to start to be controlled by your mind or by sight or, you know, all of these different things. Like, okay, what about when we, I think we've talked about this before, what about when those things start to become voluntary? Like, what if I can replace my, oh, if you think about the, what are they called in the, not the Mandalorian, but the Book of Boba Fett, the cyborg kind of people mm-hmm. that have like enhanced all of the different, I don't remember what they're called, the gang that like has.
They're I think they're called mods.
Mods, like, right, yeah.
Because like, yeah. But yeah, I don't remember what their enhancement thing is called, but I understand what you mean. Like when it's like, when you get a cyborg eye put in and then it like does cool stuff. Or,
yeah.
First of all, I'm terrified of all of that because of the rate in which we develop. And like, imagine if you have the, right now, if you had a 1997 cyborg link up for your artificial arm that you are that you chose to have put in,
right?
And like now you can only run stuff that is on dial up. Yeah. like or you can't, like the fact that we have the Voyager spacecraft 40 years in space and they're like still working on technology that was that's 50 years old because it had to be developed in the lead up to launching them, right. Is like mind-boggling.
Yeah,
that stuff is still working. And imagine if that was how your eyeball worked. It would be yeah. If you had a, if you have like an iPhone 6 at this point, like no offense if you do, I'm not being judgmental, but like you're living in a different generation. You're like in a pre-Trump world,
well,
like not like pre-Trump, but like pre-Trump president
sure.
world. Like you don't even exist in the same current time.
Well, and realistically, like I mean, we are getting to the point where certain older models of technology are just straight up not supported by the newer networks that we're. That we're developing, right? So like as soon as the only thing that's available is 5G service or 5G broadband, you will not be able to access phone service on your older devices. And so if that were to be the thing, is like, hey, sorry, your eyeballs don't work anymore because technology.
We talked about that recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, about how the eyeballs were being phased out. Like the customer support wasn't going to exist for them anymore. Yeah. And it's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have to at least give a lifetime, a like a human lifetime full of support in order to be able to reasonably
right.
move forward with these things. Or the ability to have another horrendous surgery to replace it.
Or so, it's just like the service for your eye gets outsourced to some country that, like, that becomes their massive industry, which is, like, second-hand support for your second hand that you've got added to your wrist.
That's wonderful. Yeah, once they can regenerate, like once we can regenerate skin and tissue and nerves and stuff like that, we won't arguably need them the same way. But once you can have like a connection with a new eye that's installed that actually repairs, mm. and if you needed to have it replaced, it wouldn't be like, well, what's that? Let's cut through that scar tissue.
Yeah. maybe the question I would ask at the top of this show is, can you not explain the hard or soft tires? Like, did you go for the hard or soft eye? You're required by the F1 to use two in your lifetime.
Like, they like swap out the driver's heads yeah. instead of helmets.
Yeah.
Like, so there were some pretty wild early 20s nights and maybe even into my 30s where I look back and think like, my God, my liver must absolutely hate me. And that was by choice. A team of scientists have created a perfusion machine, I don't know what that means, that can remove an unhealthy liver, one not considered suitable for transplantation. That's how bad off it is. They could put it in this machine that, at best, it can mimic the human body with like a heart pump and other organ-like functions. They drop the damaged liver in there, and over 3 days, they can feed it the right nutrients and drugs and return it to an acceptable functional state. Then I guess you would probably transplant this liver, because I don't think you're just keeping a body alive somehow without a liver and then dropping it back in and sewing the person up or whatever. Like, or maybe they are.
Maybe they are. Is there like a liver bypass machine that they can put you on?
So like, I always think of like cyborg stuff where, you know, you'd get like cool, like now I can run faster because I have robot legs, yeah. like Darth Maul yeah. or whatever. Or like a replacement arm like Luke Skywalker. It all seems to be Star Wars yeah, related. Yeah. Or like, does it get creepy like Borg from Star Trek yeah, where they're yeah. starting to like take over your body and mind with robot parts and you're being assimilated? But really the thing that we have the most problem with is finding replacement organs for when the cancer gets you.
Well, I think that that's the reason I asked the question is, how much of your body would you be willing to replace? I mean, like, there's obviously the voluntary side of it, which is like, I would like to improve the function of my nose or my eyes or my ears or whatever it might be, my arm. But then there's the, I would like to restore the function that I lost because of disease or injury or whatever it might be. And I guess the question is, like, the side of it is that part of you is going to be, or part of me, I'll speak personally, like, part of me is like, yeah, I mean, if I could extend my life because I was able to take my heart out, wash it, and put it back in, and all of a sudden it functions like a, you know, a healthy 30-year-old rather than a 70-year-old or however old wash I am. Yeah, whatever it is, I don't know. That's what it sounds like they're doing with the liver. Then that's great. Okay, instead of replacing your, or instead of cleaning your heart or your liver, we'll just replace it. Oh, now your liver's not bad, but it's your kidney. Okay, we'll replace that. Okay, now it's your, and then all of a sudden you're General Grievous, right? Where you are all robot except for the lungs, apparently.
He's kind of like the Grinch, right? He's got that tiny little shriveled heart, yeah, and then like a nerven. Like, yeah,
that's
like,
what it is. We just needed to teach General Grievous the meaning of Christmas.
You hear about this one, Brandon? Scientists have grown a human ear and successfully transplanted it onto a living human patient's head as a replacement. Now, some people are you laughing about my terrible ear joke?
No, I just love the idea of like I, what I imagine is they put it where the ear is supposed to be, where there was an ear, but they put this one on. I like to just think of like, all right, this guy's bald, let's put it on the top.
Or that nipple's kind of weird looking. Let's make it weirder.
Put it on his butt so he can hear all the farts.
So scientists have regrown one for people that are born with like ear defects.
Yeah.
Like some people just don't, that doesn't form correctly. There's a stage in development in utero that like doesn't go correctly. And so they've been able to take a cartilage sample, synthesize it to grow, and then 3D printed an ear to resemble the other one and attached it to this woman's head. Short term, it has worked. If it works long term, this is awesome for this patient with the ear birth defect. But also watch out, because the future is no longer breast implants. It's like 3D printed wieners and boobs, just like right around the corner.
Well, I mean, like, this feels like a step toward
RIP vaginas. Literally.
Rest in pee-pee. No, I mean, this feels like a step toward, instead of having to regrow an ear in a, you know, or 3D print an ear or whatever it might be, and then replacing the ear you have, it seems like it's close to just being able to do it on your head. Like, just being able to, like, inject whatever it is into the ear, you know, whatever it is that you have in where that ear should be. And like having that thing grow just right on the ear, like right where it's supposed to be.
I can't stop but think that if that's the case, that then like people like dude bros and their bitcoins or whatever are going to be like, I want you to put the injection of stem cell growth before he's born, so that way I know he's gonna be well off.
I mean, that's the weird thing about these, like, the vanity surgeries and like the vanity idea of like being able to change the genes of somebody before it the kid is born, where people are like, oh, you could choose their eye color, or you can choose their, you know, you can make sure that you get rid of any birth defects or anything like that. But it's going to get to the point where it's like, it is going to be vanity, to the point where like, yeah, I could choose that. Like, if you can choose, would you choose for your kid to have small dick? Like, no, you would probably. So, but then you're all of a sudden making the choice for people.
Like, circumcision as a choice that, like, people fight about all the time, out of the way.
Yeah, we're getting it. Like,
we're going straight to involuntary dong size.
Exactly. Like, oh, man. Why didn't my dad choose for me to have a big dick?
What the f***, dude? Why didn't you choose? Why didn't you pay the $1,000, you jerk? You left me with this. I've got to explain to anyone who's listening also that it doesn't matter what you actually have. It's guaranteed that you're going to disappoint your partner with whatever thing you have at some point in time. Yeah. So be confident in having no confidence, okay? Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I mean, okay, how much of your body, like, I mean, the same thing with the ear, the liver, yeah, all of it. Like, I'm curious, you know, if, like, the ethical dilemma that I end up getting to that I never finish is, like, it can extend your life. How much of your body are you willing to actually replace to the, or, like, in, hypothetically right now, what point do you start getting uncomfortable with, like, is it if it's voluntary, is that uncomfortable? Or is it if I actually, like, if I need to replace these things? Or do you just kind of, like, you know, humans are, we're temporal creatures. Like, do we just let myself die, you know?
Yeah, it's, I think that there becomes, like, a huge, like, the AI robot lawyers of the future are going to have, like, a whole new avenue of things to study because, like, for me, if you see a child who loses an arm and you could do something about that, of course.
Yeah.
But if you see a guy who wants to be, like, better at murdering, like, and he gets, you know, that,
or that I just want to play basketball better, or I want to be able to jerk off faster, like, whatever it is.
We can't have a civil conversation about how trans people are going to be treated in sports, let alone,
sure,
like, let alone a that type of genetic modification, or even
as long as the modification is just making their dick bigger and not giving themselves a dick, I think that the conservatives will be okay with it.
Dude, I just want you to know that I think you're 100% wrong because truck sales are going to go way down. Like, why do you think that so many white people? Never mind.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah.
We can't go there. All right. Well, I had one more thing, but I just want to point out that I haven't seen the film, but Val Kilmer makes an appearance in the new Top Gun film, and that guy can't talk anymore because he had a really bad throat cancer. Someone said that it was because he had all these symptoms, and he had someone pray to have it go away, like as a Christian Science or something like that, and then finally when it became, like, real bad, he went, and they were like, why didn't you come in sooner? And he was like, what they've done to make that possible is they've used an AI to go through and listen to, comb through a ton of his audio. There's so much of it available. And then generate the voice to match the moving lips. And so they were able to make him talk normally, whatever that means, in the film without him actually being able to talk without a voice modulator.
Wow.
Which, to me, as the guy who just writes stupid jokes and poorly delivers them, like, and gets canceled because of this episode or whatever, like, can my company just replace me with the... I mean, there's hours and hours and hours and hours of material of me saying terrible things. Like, you could easily have someone generate the text and then have it voice it itself.
Well, I mean, think about, like, this is different because he's the person actually in the film who they're then, like, dubbing his voice to. But think
with,
like,
his permission.
With his permission. But think about, they've also done this for, what's his name? Peter... not Crouch, but the other tall, skinny guy who was in Star Wars.
Stop. His name is Peter Crouch, for sure. It is definitely Peter Crouch, the football player. Yes.
But Peter Cushing, the guy that...
No, Peter Crouch, thank you.
Okay. That played Grand Moff, what was it? Grand Moff?
Tarkin.
In Star Wars, like, they just completely CGI'd his entire being in physical, and, like, they did the same with Leia. They're doing the same, I mean, to an extent, with Luke Skywalker in The Mandalorian and in Book of Boba Fett. And so, like,
and it doesn't hold up. It doesn't look that good.
No.
It's like, when it came out at first, I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then the more I see it, I'm like, that looks hella fake. Yeah. But also, like, I'd also be mad if it was a different actor.
Sure.
So I, like, you can't win with
Star Wars
fans.
Unless it's like Sebastian Stan, because the dude looks exactly like a young what's his face?
Luke Skywalker.
Mark
Hamill.
Hamill, thank you. I was saying Mark Ruffalo, which is like, you know what? Just get Mark Ruffalo in there.
Perfect. That's all we need.
But I mean, I think the difference, what I wanted to compare it to, is like you or even James Earl Jones as Darth Vader is like, they don't have to match the voice with your... They don't have to make it look like he's actually talking. They like with Val Kilmer, they actually have to make it look like he's saying the words, versus with you on the radio or with James Earl Jones, who's not, he's not behind the mask of Darth Vader, but it's just his voice, and there's no mouth or anything to sync it up to, right? Like if you took off the Darth Vader mask and you had Hayden Christensen talking and it sounded like James Earl Jones, that's where we'd have a problem, right?
Yeah, that would be problematic to say the
it's
least.
It's like the black voice.
I mean, I think about how if you haven't watched Obi-Wan yet, one of the things that stands out to me is the voice of Darth Vader is, I was like, this can't be James Earl Jones, because in, what's it called? In the
Rogue One,
it sounds like an 80-year-old man talking as Darth Vader, because it's an 80-year-old man talking as Darth Vader. So to me, they've had to clean it up or use AI to some capacity to make it sound young again and mean and like, I might go watch Obi-Wan right now.
It's actually just like, James Earl Jones is 91 years old. Like, he's... very, very old. Like, did they just like take all of the him in the Sandlot?
That's an actual respirator.
Poor guy.
Okay. All right. Well, that about does it for us. I guess we could wrap it all up here. It's time for What Did We Learn This Week? After all, this is a very heady show, obviously.
they take our heads off, they move them, and they put the F1 driver's heads on us. That is the heady show.
My wife would be so stoked if it was Carlos Sainz. Let me tell you, she has a big wife boner for that guy.
Nice.
I keep telling her that he is way too young for her, okay? After all the things that we've said bad about some of my friends dating relative children, not actual children, but anyway, what'd you learn this week, Brandon?
I learned that I have a lot of thinking to do before I replace any part of my body with a lab-grown ear.
I'm fine with you making your wiener bigger, though, with it. I think that that type of vanity is fine.
The only if the method in which I make it bigger is by adding an ear onto the end of it.
That is not what you want to hear. I can hear what my baby heard.
God. Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned that I'm going straight to hell. just right for the...
Will you be carried by the dragon of death?
That is clearly going to happen. I learned that I haven't really changed my stance on thinking that pterodactyls or the pterosaur family would benefit humanity in terms of its awesomeness and possible reality shows. And the gun lobby could get behind it too, because you need more. You could actually use those assault rifles to assault something that's not a human being that doesn't need to be killed.
And why not do it while we still have Jeff Goldblum around to reenact all of the parts of the dinosaur?
Brandon, you learn anything else this week?
I learned that by not getting into crypto, because I know that if I were to get into crypto, I wouldn't have been one of the ones who forgot about Ethereum and made $1 million. I would have been the guy who definitely got scammed out of a bunch of money. So I learned that it's a good thing I didn't get into crypto.
$2,600, okay? Not a million. If it was a million.
$2,600. It was a million Patero coin.
Yeah.
PT Cruiser coin.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah! Join us next week live on the Odyssey app at 10 a.m. We do it Pacific time. We do it every week. And enjoy the podcast version on this on your podcast provider of choice. You can listen on the Odyssey app. Have fun.
10 a.m. PT Cruiser time.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we started together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.